Again, we're presented this evening with a great opportunity to not only come and worship God and to enter His presence, but also to open His Word as well. And God has promised that in the last day He will feed, He will sustain, and He will keep His remnant, the seed that He has redeemed even before the foundation of the world. And thank the Lord that He has given us an appetite, a heart, for that word, for that manna. And we praise and thank Him. And we desire tonight that through this word that He's magnified, He's glorified, He's lifted high. Because He said that if you lift me high, I will draw all men unto me. And there's no finer way of magnifying the Lord than lifting His word up. And we praise Him for that. And we thank Him for the anointing, the unction of the Spirit. We want to thank and praise Him also that He will open our ears and eyes and hearts, and that that word, His word, the seed of His word, will permeate deep within our hearts tonight. Thank you, Father. Well, for those of you who take notes, we're going to call this teaching tonight, God's Presence Changes Things. God's Presence Changes Things. And I believe that the overcomers, the bride that is making herself ready, is going to indeed be blessed with the presence of God. Because when the presence of God is there, things change. And I want to just highlight tonight from Scripture where in the Bible we see the presence of God appears. And whenever the presence of God appears, comes to His people or to saints, whether individually or corporately, things happen. Great changes take place. And I believe that it's going to take the presence of God for the last day, as the church now is being restored under the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, as God again is bringing us back to His word, and as the prophecy of Joel says that in the last days He will teach us by revelation, and He indeed is illumining our minds to receive that revelation, and we're being taught by the Holy Spirit. Yes, God uses men and the gifts, but fundamentally it is the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit who is now teaching us for these last days. And indeed, rightly so, because it takes a sovereign work for the presence of God to appear, to come to His people, because indeed God is sovereign. And so we would not be wrong theologically to say that God's presence not only changes things, but God's presence is sovereign as well. I'm reminded of the early church, the church of Pentecost, where the presence of God came upon those saints in such a way that the presence that came upon the church, we're told, also the fear of God came upon the church. And many were added as a result of that. And you did primarily two things. You either stayed or you ran away. And that is what the presence of God was then. And that was just the former. And we notice the things that happened as a result of the presence of God. How the people were equipped. How they went out and were witnesses. How the Holy Spirit was with the apostles, and the miracles that were wrought. I'm reminded also of the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who by the presence of God, because they lied to the Holy Spirit, were struck dead. These are all accounts of the presence of God. And so let us turn now to some scriptures on this. Some of these, of course, you will have probably underlined, or you know them and you can recite them, but they still speak about the presence of God. For example, in Psalm 16 verse 11, Psalm 16 and verse 11, and in verse 11 it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And so the psalmist says here, "In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand There are pleasures forevermore. So here we get a glimpse of the presence of God, which brings his fullness, his joy. So we're told that God's presence gives him joy, makes his heart glad. He is joyful to be amongst his people. And not only does he stop there, but he says, with that joy that at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And that is why the presence of God is so important, because we're one day going to live forever in his presence, where nothing will separate us ever from that presence again. His presence will be the light, lighting everywhere. His presence. And so we're told that in his presence there are pleasures forevermore. And in eternity there will be pleasures forevermore. There will be one pleasure after the other being unraveled, unfolded. You will learn more and more and more. God will take delight in you, and his delight, his joy, will simply shower blessings upon you. His presence, if that is not enough, will be many, many more blessings. Why, even Jesus gave us an indication of this. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house are many mansions. Actually, it reads, there is a place, there is a type of arboretum, your place to dwell. So, a place of paradise. And he says, I go to prepare a place for each one of you. So what is heaven going to be like? What is it going to contain? And you can be well assured that Jesus, as he goes to prepare that place for you, he knows exactly what will please you. He knows exactly the desires of your heart. He will get the colour scheme right. He will get all the scenery right. He will get whatever is there, it will be bang on. And you will be overjoyed. You will be lost for words. Why? Because his presence will be there. This fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And then we go on to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And again we look at verse 11 here in Psalm 51 and verse 11. And here the psalmist speaks about not being cast away from the Lord. He says, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. So he's crying out there, don't let your presence go, because he says, if your presence goes, I no longer have the Holy Spirit. And he's appealing to God through his confessional. Lord, don't let me go. Do not take your presence away from me. So we get a clear indication that the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, brings with that baptism God's presence to us, does it not? And that is why the baptism of the Spirit is a doorway into the deeper life. And you can go in the Spirit as far as you want, because we're talking about God's presence. In his presence, there's no beginning, there's no end. It is eternal in that sense. Now, we're reminded in Genesis of the story of Adam and Eve, where through sin, they left the direct divine presence of God. There was a presence of the Lord, but not the same in the sense of communing at night, which they did at the end of the day, talking face to face with the pre-incarnate Christ, that then had been marred. And so they had to go out of the presence of God, not only out of the presence of God, but they had to be removed from the Garden of Eden as well. Again, this speaks of God's presence. So when God saves us, when he redeems us and he gives us a standing before him, he's restoring again his divine presence. And it is a process, it is a work. Just as we are saved, legally we're saved, And in our pilgrimage walk, we are being saved. So our the presence of God is being now restored into your life and into the church and the overcomers that are going on with God.
Jesus.
Because without that, nothing will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we appeal to the Psalms. We look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139 and verse 7. Psalm 139 and verse 7. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Or whither shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. What is the psalmist speaking about? He's speaking about the presence of God. Where can I flee from your presence? Can we flee from the presence of God? Well, ultimately, no one can actually flee from God's presence. Period. Now, let's give an analogy of God's presence. The nearest thing that I can describe this to you is like the presence of someone you know. Or you can have people in a room. And the nearer you get to them, the closer you'll be getting to their presence. And it's exactly the same with God. You can look at somebody afar off, but you don't really get to know them. You can see it's a person, you could probably just about recognize who it is, but as you get nearer to their presence, so visually you see the person with more clarity. And the closer and the nearer you get, the more you get to know that person. So as you get closer to them, so you get to know them. You get to know their ways, their habits, their personality, their traits, and so on. This speaks about the presence of God. And it's exactly the same with God. This is why the deeper life in the Spirit is about the presence of God. You come closer to Him. And the closer you get to anyone, the more you get to know about them. And certainly the bride is really going to get to know about the bridegroom. And that is why we make much about relationship in this walk. So God's presence does indeed change all things. Now, I want to go to a story in the Old Testament, to Exodus. Exodus 33 and verse 15. Exodus 33, and we just take verse 15. And he said unto him, if your presence go not with me, carry us not up from here. Now Moses, who is leading the children of Israel, they have sinned. Remember, they built the golden calf, and in Moses' anger he breaks the tablet of stone, the commandments, and again he goes back up to receive them again. They're then now ready to move on, but Moses appeals to God, and he says, unless your presence goes with us, goes with me, it's not worth it, fundamentally. And so we know the story of where God says, well, my presence will pass over you, but he covers him in the cleft of the rock as the Lord goes past, and he just sees the rear part of God as he moves before him. Moses was aware to lead over a million people, he needed the presence of God. The presence of God was needed over those people. And so God revealed his presence by fire by night and by a pillar, by a cloud by day. That revealed the presence of God with his people. And I believe that this is the cry that is coming out of the overcomers in this last day now. Something within us is crying out, Lord, we need your presence with us. It's not going to work otherwise. And I believe God's putting that within us, in our prayers and in our supplications. There is just something deep that's crying out now, Lord, I need your presence. I want your presence. We need your presence in the church. And that is a very healthy and natural thing, because it speaks about relationship. Yeah. It speaks about God with his people. And that is what's being restored now in the last days. We can have all the gifts that we want in the church. We can have the fivefold ministry. We could have five of those ministries functioning in our church. But unless we have the presence of God, they are never going to really function properly. And also the presence of God really glorifies the Lord. That is what really lifts his name. That is what glorifies him. That is what he takes pleasure, delight in. And of course, Moses, he saw this. There's also another character in Scripture, Job. Job was very aware that the presence of God deals with sin, our hearts, and unbelief. Let's turn to the book of Job. Job 23, verses 10 to 17. Job chapter 23, verses 10 to 17. 10 to 17. And here it's in the dialogue, and Job, he replies to God, he longs for God. He's longing for God, he's longing for his presence. But his presence is also dealing with Job as well. So Job 23, we'll take it up from verse 10 to 17. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, even that he does. For he performs the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence, when I consider I am afraid of him. For God makes his heart, for God makes my heart soft, and the Almighty troubles me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither has he covered the darkness from my face. Now, of course, we need to understand what's going on here. Sometimes it can look very negative, what Job is saying in his dialogue. But really, it doesn't take long to see that the presence of God is dealing with Job. And the presence of God, he said, you know, he's crying out to God. For example, he says, when you have tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Well, you can only know if you come forth as gold if the presence of God is with you and is testing you. And this is why that when you go through your trials, unbeknown to you, but the presence of God is with you and in that trial as well. It may not seem as though his presence is there, but when you come out of the other side of that trial, it's like you have been tested, like as gold. Now, that's the presence of God with you in that trial, the same as with Job. He says, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined, which he hadn't. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. There he sees the word of God as better than even natural food. And that's the affection that God's putting within us. That love for his word. Above even food, that necessary food that keeps us alive. In our bodies, that is. And he goes on in verse 13. But he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, even he does. So then he's speaking of the sovereignty of God. What God decrees, what he's doing with me, how he's dealing with me, I cannot change it. He knows. He's got it under control. It's the same with your trials. God isn't going to change it. You can't even change it. Don't even try. God knows what he's doing, but he's promised he'll bring you forth purified as gold. For he performs the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider I'm afraid of him. So his presence is also bringing the fear of God. His presence is bringing that sovereign work over Job's life. And he's aware of it. He's aware of the presence of God. And at times it can seem as though it troubles me. It's like it's going to consume me. I'm going to be burnt up by his presence. Of course he won't. But it can seem like that. What those trials seem like that at times. So here we see another side of the presence of God that changes things. And he changes many things in your trials and in your tribulations. Let's turn also to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16. And here is a story that we know, the story of Cain and Abel. Now Cain slew his brother Abel. And here we take it up in verse 16 of Genesis chapter 4. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And so it goes on. So we're told that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And let's take it up a little earlier. Verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from your face shall I be hidden. I shall be a fugitive, a wanderer in the earth, and it shall come to pass that any one that finds me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. So no longer did Cain have the mark, the presence of God upon him. He has a different mark, a mark that has come through sin, through murder, through shedding of blood. And that mark is a result of sin. And that is why in the last days, when the mark of the 666 brought in by the beast, by government, the Antichrist, those that take that, that is the mark, the sign of sin, rebellion. It's a type here again. And that mark, it takes you out of the presence of God. Because you're damned if you take that. So we see how important the presence of God is. And Cain was grieved when he was driven out of the land and out of the presence of God. So sin will do this. This is why we have to walk close with God. We see when God's presence filled the temple. We see several accounts in the Old Testament of how when the presence of God filled the temple, it came like smoke and the people fell flat on their faces to worship. What was that? That was the presence of God coming, accepting the sacrifice. Again, one becomes aware of the sovereignty of God. That presence just deals with everything, which it always does. I'm aware of Moses when he went up to Sinai and he came down, he had to have his face veiled. Why did he have to have it veiled? Because he had been in the presence of the Lord. They couldn't really look upon the countenance of his face. And so again, as the overcomers are moving closer to God, as we're being prepared, so his presence is going to be on us, in us, and through us. It's going to be seen as a countenance, as a light. This is why I believe the early church and Jesus himself and the Apostle Paul and others, they had the presence of God on them, through them. That's why things happened. That's why demons manifested. That's why they were able to divide darkness, because light was being penetrated through. The presence of God is desperately needed back in the house of God again. And he's coming. He's coming because only things then can be changed. I believe the presence of God heals, delivers, and saves. Amen. That is why I believe for the presence of God in the word that I preach. Because if God's presence is not in the word, it's not going to change lives. Lives are not going to meet with the Lord. So the signs will not follow. And you pray for this. You press in for this. You intercede for this as a minister. Because you have no message otherwise if God's presence is not in his word. Because that is his word. If you have his word, you have his presence. And if you have his presence, you have his word. I take that further. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5 and verse 16 to 20. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 16 to 20. And here Jesus depended, he believed, he experienced the presence of God with him. And look what happens as a result in Luke 5, and we'll take it out from verse 16. And he withdrew himself in the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there was a Pharisee and teachers of the law sitting by, who were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man who was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and led him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, your sins are forgiven. And then the story goes on about the scribes getting upset and so on. But what do we see here? It says in verse 17, but the power of the Lord was present for him to heal him. To heal them. That is many. The presence of God was with Jesus. Well, if he was with Jesus, certainly how much more with us and the house of God. And this again is why at times we don't see things happen. We may lay hands upon the sick, but the point is the presence of God must be there. Because when the presence of God is there, faith is there. Faith is quickened. The word is there. This is why the Word of God tells us not to lay hands too quickly upon people. And yet we do. And yet we see the charismatic movement today can't wait to lay hands upon people. And this is why when you see these meetings, people are going up over and over again for the same old thing. And they think because they get slayed in the Spirit, that's the presence of God. When are we going to learn that without the presence of God, things don't happen? And that is what I believe God is going to bless us with, the overcomers in this last day. And certainly if Jesus walked that way and he experienced that, how much more we also. Those things are in Scripture there to teach us, to tell us something, so that we can learn. As I've already been indicating, the presence of God will deal with sin in the world in the last days. Let us turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. This is a manifested token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So look how God is going to deal with the world, sin and unbelief. His very presence is going to judge it. His very presence is going to deal with it. I don't believe God has to say much. I believe his presence says it all. And of course we get indications in the book of Revelation how they try to flee from the presence of God and from his wrath. Now this is a time we see when God then comes in vengeance, in wrath. At the moment, he's preserving and protecting us from that. And that is why we're in the period of grace and mercy. We're simply hearing this tonight. We are able to open our Bibles and the Holy Spirit is able to speak to us because of the mercy and grace of God. That is his presence over us at this time. But there is coming a day and an hour when we're shown that that is going to change. And his presence, his very presence, is going to bring his wrath, his anger against sin and rebellion. And they will try to flee from that, but they will be unable to. Thank God that we are being preserved and protected from that, from the day of the Lord. And this is why this message, this deeper life, is such a blessing. Because this is a way of escape that God is giving to us. We're going through our trials and tribulations now. We're going through our purgings now, so that God gets us ready, gets us for his presence. That's all it is. It's his presence that's dealing with sin and unbelief in your life and my life. But we're going to really praise God in that day, because this is a means for us of being called away, snatched away, when the Lord firstly appears in the clouds for his bride, the overcomers, when the man-child is caught away. The man-child can only be caught away by the presence of God. The bride can only make herself ready by the presence of God. We can only hear tonight, we can only take in as much as we can by God's presence, speaking to us through his word. And this is why we should acknowledge God in this. This is why we should praise the Lord for these changes that are taking place within our lives, within our assemblies, and so on. We should be appreciative of this, that God's presence is changing you and me into his likeness, into his way. And it has to be his presence for the last days and for the manifestation of the sons of God. The manifestation of the sons of God can only come and be as a result of God's presence in us and through us. Are you believing for that? Do you confess for that? Are you praying, interceding that God's presence, his fullness, will be in you and through you? Are you praying and interceding that whenever it's called for you to lay hands upon the sick, that God's presence will be with you to heal that person? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever prayed about that? Interceded, sought God about that? I'm not sure all of us have. And yet it's there. And this is why Jesus very often prayed through the night. What was he doing? He was interceding so that the presence of God was with him. The Holy Spirit was leading him. He revealed this many times. He showed in his ministry, I do only those things that the Father reveals. Well, if the Father was revealing it to him, that speaks of the presence of God. Is that your prayer? Father, that I only do and say that which is revealed to me. That is worth praying and interceding for and pressing in for, because that is what is going to produce the sons of God. That is what is going to manifest them. That is what is sorting out the men from the boys. There's coming a day and an hour when we're no longer going to be under tutors and pedagogues, but we're going to be manifested as sons. And that manifestation, as spoken of in Galatians, means the presence of God is with me, in me, through me. He's not coming and going, or I'm coming and going in that sense. God's presence doesn't change. It's just us. We're in his presence one day and then we run away from it the next day. Because God is then highlighting something we don't like. Well, that's where the cross comes in. When you're on the cross, you can't run away from his presence. You're hanging up there crucified. Praise God. We always in the end come back to the cross, don't we? Jesus knew that on the cross, that is where God's presence was going to raise him up from the dead. He had to believe that. And in order to believe that, he had to experience that first before going to the cross. And so as God's working his presence with you, so that helps you to go to that cross and to daily take up your cross and follow the Lord. Because that cross in your life keeps you in the presence of God. And the presence of God, as he works that death in those areas, then from death will come that resurrection that takes over. That is how he's working with us. So I raise this question again before we close with this. God's presence changes things. Is that what you want? Is that what you want in your life? Is that what you want for your church? Is that what you want for your ministry? Is that what you're praying for the ministry? For the presence of God to change? Because otherwise it will never happen. You have tried to change yourself and you have failed. You have tried to be good and you have failed. You have tried to believe and you have failed. And you will fail because it is only the presence of God that changes things. And it is there for the asking. You see, we're too often still asking for the wrong things. I believe now there's coming a time when the sons of God now are going to start to press in for God's presence in their life, in their ministry, and in their church. Because if we don't have this, we're wasting our time. It is only God's presence that glorifies his name. And that is how I want to walk. That is how Jesus walked. That is how Moses walked. That is how all the saints of old wore. That is how the early church walked. And I believe the latter rain that is soon to come upon the sons of God is indeed the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with us, to lead us, guide us, teach us, to heal through us, to speak through us, to love through us, everything.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you again for your encouragement to us. We thank you, Lord, that it is so easy, and often, Father, those things that are staring us in the face, we can so miss out. But Lord, you're showing us that it is your presence, and you're wanting us to press in now for this. Father, I pray that you will help us. Teach us, Father. Let us be faithful in holding on to this, praying for this, pressing in, so that your presence is with us, in us, and through us. That your presence is with us when we go out and when we come in. Whoever we meet, whatever we say, whatever is needed to be accomplished to glorify your name. Father, we thank you for this. Thank you, Lord, for what you have revealed tonight through your word. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us, and keep us. Father, I pray your blessing not only upon the saints here in this place, but also those out on the internet who are listening tonight. Lord, bless them with your presence. Father, just kindle their hearts. Just stir them up. Father, cause them to cry out, to mean business, to walk in your divine presence every moment of the day, Father. That is my prayer for my brothers and sisters, Lord. And we pray that in Jesus' name.